Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
Whoa, edit. I'm inserting this after the fact, so this is out of order with everything else, but I completely forgot. Mike was wrong! Last week, I erroneously gave credit to my friend Dave for the Treppenwitz music. He did, in fact, perform the Treppenwitz music, but I am an uncultured swine, and I did not recognize that it is actually a piece of music from some character named J.S. Bach. So, apparently, yeah, no, exactly. He pulls some obscure piece of music out of his butt and expects that I'm going to know who this guy is. I have no clue. So, but he tells me that it was the first Bori, and look, I'm so uncultured, I don't even know if that's how you pronounce that word, but I'm going to say Bori from his third suite for unaccompanied cello, which my friend Dave brilliantly performed. So, therefore, I am now setting the record straight. I will fix my credits, and from now on, this Mr. Batch guy is going to get half the credit for that song. So, there you go. Now, back to the show as originally recorded. And welcome to episode 229 of Nerd Pride Radio. 229 is the number of days in 2018 that the New York Racing Association has scheduled for live horse racing at the Aqueduct Racetrack, Belmont Park, and Saratoga Racecourse. With an average number of 9 races per day and an average of 10 horses in every race, that's approximately 20,610 horses being exploited and abused in 1 year in the state of New York. Thank you, Kyle, for that interesting fact, although, I mean, a little disingenuous, I mean, because some of those horses are going to race in multiple races throughout the year, so really, I mean, I don't know, maybe 10,000 abused horses? Does that make it better? Well, either way, that's our nerd fact for the week. Ask me how I'm doing today. Well, thank you, Lisa. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus... there's like 7 other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week is, it's just Lisa. Well, not just Lisa. It's my lovely wife, Lisa, across the room there. She's doing her own work, but I'm sure she will chime in if she finds something important enough to say on this podcast. Which is everything I talk about. All right. Yeah, not well planned because, see, here's the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. The meticulously plotted portion of the podcast, yada, yada, yada. No, I'm just winging it today. I haven't meticulously plotted anything. You lucky dogs. Cause I went camping this weekend with the Boy Scouts. So it was me and Noah and Eli and several other Boy Scouts in our troop. And it was cold. It was freaky cold, guys. We went from Friday night to Sunday morning. So 2 nights sleeping out in the cold. First night, 33 degrees it got down to. Second night, I'm told it was 46. So, you know, heat wave. Second night, much better. I slept fully dressed, wearing my t-shirt, my overshirt, my hoodie, my coat, plus gloves. And all covered up with 2 blankets. And that's how I slept, and I was still freezing my butt off. So I have not slept well, and I am really spacey right now. I am not, you know what, you'll see. I'll get through this as best I can, but certainly have not planned anything out. I didn't get to see Infinity War this weekend, so I can't report on that, but I would love to see Infinity War. I can't wait to see Infinity War. But, you know, I can't say anything about it. That one's coming up. Let's see. Was there anything to report about our camping trip? It was, I mean, look, other than freezing to death at night, I mean, it was like 60, 70 degrees during the day, so it was nice during the day. We had a really good time. The kids played a lot of games. They did a lot of hiking. Eli was in charge of all the food, so he planned, shopped for, and organized the meals for all day Saturday, which means he did most of the cooking himself, but he also organized people to help him do the chopping and help him do the cleanup and washing dishes, and recruited one of his friends to help him with the grilling because he wasn't that great on the grill. And he wound up doing Ziploc baggy omelets for breakfast along with some excellent breakfast potatoes that he made. He loves the breakfast potatoes we have at home, and so he wanted to replicate that at camp for everyone else. And he was actually did a great job. Everyone was very impressed with his food. I don't think they were expecting a whole lot, and he gave them good meals. The fried up cheeseburgers for lunch, that went over really well, and then threw on a big pot of chili for supper. So he did a good job. I was really impressed with him. I mean, he was able to step in there, keep people moving, get them doing what they were supposed to be doing without being too mean, without snapping at them. So it went off well.
Are you embarrassed? Your face is
all red. No, I'm overheated, and I don't know why.
Oh, I thought you were sunburned.
Oh, I am a little sunburned. No, that's the worst. God, I am sunburned. That's why my face feels overheated. I'm sunburned. I forgot about that. Yeah, I froze to death while getting a sunburn. That's what this... The backs of my hands, my face, and just a couple of spots on the back of my neck. Terribly sunburned. So, you know, that's just how the weekend went. Let's see. Oh, and then while we were out there, we played a bunch of games, too. But Noah was in charge of that. Noah was leading everybody in board games and card games, because that's his gig. So it wound up being... they did Secret Hitler because everyone wanted Secret Hitler, and then they played some Booby Trap, and they played Magic. Lots of Magic was out there, and I can't even remember what else they went. Oh, he broke out the Cthulhu dice again because he wanted to introduce everybody to Cthulhu dice. That went over like gangbusters. It was great. So all very cool. It was a good weekend, except of course, you know, I froze and didn't sleep well, and so now I'm a little punchy. But you know, we'll get through it. So this is not going to be a long podcast because I'm almost done with the lackadaisically plotted portion of this podcast. So let's see. Well, oh, you guys, if you have not checked out the Godball Print and Play, but you would like to, we have the second version 2 of the Godball Print and Play is just about done. We should have that up like, I don't know, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. So if you come to the forums and you can't see it, ask me and I'll make sure you can see it, because we're really proud of it. This is the cleaned up version. The rules have been tightened up. Things are working really well. You can actually score points with it. It's a very fun game. So if you guys want to help us playtest it, get your name down with a playtester credit, give us some feedback on it. We would love to have you come try it out. So give it a shot. It is worth your time. And that's about it. Oh, no, that's not it. My wife was at a conference, and one of the speakers was a man named Zach Anner. And if you have not seen him on YouTube, go look him up. He's hysterical. And the man has cerebral palsy and is, he's just a kill. He really is. I don't want to dwell on that, because here's the thing. Is that because she saw him as a speaker, she knew that he is a writer on the show Speechless, which is on ABC. And so while me and the little boys were gone for the weekend, her and Aiden decided that they would try out Speechless and see what they thought of it. And they loved it. Absolutely loved this show, said it was unbelievably hysterical. It was really good. And so she insisted that me and the boys watched today when we got home, and we loved the pilot episode so much that we had to watch a second one, and I am absolutely in love with the show Speechless. So here's what I'm telling you. This is, if I was having real segments, this would be Roku. You should go out. It is on, I think we're watching it on Amazon. I think we actually bought the season. Season one is.
First season is on Amazon. You had to buy it on Amazon Prime.
Okay. So my wife says that you can get Amazon. You have to buy the first season through Amazon Prime. The second season is on Hulu for free. And if you find it somewhere for free, you know, hey, more power to you. But. We've got it, and it is awesome, and we, what was I gonna say? God, see, I am just punchy. I got so sidetracked by that. Anyway, so you should watch this thing because it is super funny. It stars, Micah Fowler is a kid with cerebral palsy in the show and can't talk and needs assistance with that, and that's why it's called Speechless. His mom is played by Minnie Driver, who is this powerhouse mom who will do anything to protect her family and to ensure that her son is being properly served and assisted and all this. Cedric Yarbrough is in it. If you know him from Reno 911, Cedric Yarbrough is hysterical, and he is in it as I can't tell you what he does. You should watch the show. And it is just a kill. This show is just straight up funny. And we laughed our asses off. We had a really good time. And I cannot wait to get home and be able to watch more episodes with my boys because it was that much fun. So you absolutely, absolutely should watch Speechless. I can't recommend it enough. Really good show. There you go. Now I'm done with the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. And that means it's already time for the Pod-O-Matic. See how I don't have to stretch it out anymore? Oh, no, but I can turn this back on. There we go. Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2, that was him, in his fully pimped-out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you guys come in. If you want to hear me haver on about something, you have to send your questions or topics to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on our forums, my forums, at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I will add them to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Hold on. Let me get to the... Oh, no, I closed it. Darn it. I am so bad at this. I forgot that was there. This is... I'm sorry. I'm trying to get my page opened back up, and as I'm flipping through my pages up here to try and find where my lists are kept, I stumbled onto the Grimke sisters, who are, boy, they are ugly. Man, these are some ugly women. Look, we were studying American history. Eli has a test tomorrow, and so I was helping him study for American history earlier, and we got to the Grimke sisters, and so I read it off the sheet, and I'm like, I said, okay, who are the Grimke sisters? And he says, oh, yeah, the ugly sister. It was actually just Sarah Grimke. I said, who's Sarah Grimke? And he goes, oh, she was one of the ugly sisters. I'm like, no, seriously, he actually has that written on his sheet. One of the ugly sisters. But then I'm like, yeah, but what does that mean? Well, that means she was an abolitionist and she was, she fought for women's suffrage. She was a Quaker. Oh, okay. I got all that. But I had to look them up, and sure enough, Sarah and her sister Angelina, the Grimke sisters, who again, Quakers and, champions of human rights, some of the earliest champions of women's suffrage. They are, really ugly women. They are. Well, yeah, no, it was abolition and women's rights. See, it says right here, right next to their ugly picture. Is that not politically correct? Can I say that about women who've been dead 150 years? Is it okay to refer to that? Because, I mean, they're just not handsome women. Let me just say that. They are noble fighters. They are, brave women, who stood up for what was right. Good humanitarian people. Not lookers, as it were. Although that was the other thing studying that chapter that, man, you realize how much of the early, abolitionist and women's suffrage and workers' rights and, mental health rights and all this. How many of the people involved in those early movements, how many of those were led by Quakers? God, Quakers had it going on. These people rock. This is why every time we take one of those online quizzes, what religion are you supposed to be? And me and my wife both come up as Quakers every time. I'm like, man, those guys got it going. They are cool. I love Quakers. So, yeah, no, I'm not actually going to join up because I like to buy the occasional lottery ticket and, you know, maybe once in a while have a beer with my friends. Well, not beer, but some other alcoholic drink. And both of those are verboten in the Quaker religion. Although, you know, they've got some pretty loose branches. I bet we could find some people that are okay with that. So maybe not around here. Maybe Quakers are a little sparse in this area, but you know, we can look around. All right. Anyway, I now have my list back open, and the number that I rolled, if you guys remember that we were doing that, focused like a laser today, I am, by the way. The number was 56. So if we roll down that list, hey, it's from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, ooh, bedwetter behead. Oh, all right. This is... bedwetter, yes, bedwetter. Bed, wed, or behead. Dr. Frankenfurter, Brad, or riffraff. Hmm. All right. I am going to have to, this is a hard one. Well, okay, first, you bed Frankenfurter. That's, Tim Curry, that role, if you want the Night of Passion, that's obviously the place you go. That one was easy. But then between Brad and Riff Raff, I was gonna say Riff Raff. But he is kind of psychotic and prone to temper tantrums that end in murder. And so I'm going to have to kill Riff Raff. I don't think I can put up with that. So I'm going to wind up, even though he's kind of a wuss, he's an awfully milquetoast, I'll wind up marrying Brad. That's the compromise I have to make. 09. Ronster. And Ronster says, is there such a thing as a union for IT workers? Ronster asks. Should there be? Okay. There is such a thing as a union for IT workers. There is, you know, telecom and communications, blah, 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 something, workers of the world. There are IT workers unions, but they are not big and they're not powerful. Most of Silicon Valley, most of the IT world is not unionized in the traditional sense. And the question, should there be a union for these people? There absolutely should be. I mean, look, I have a union because I'm a government employee, so I have government employees unions. And a lot of IT workers are covered by whatever industry it is that they are providing their service for. But should there be an IT workers union? Absolutely there should be. There should be a union for most people. Because union has gotten a bad rap in a lot of circles, and Republicans are terribly anti-union, and yet so many of their constituents are the people who need union protection. And we've kind of gotten used to the idea of unions. You know, you think of mobster ties, and you think of fat, lazy, corrupt union bosses who are milking the pension fund. But in reality, unions perform a valuable service, and a lot of the abuses that we see right now in places like Walmart, Walmart is the whipping boy for all of this stuff, but there are plenty of other industries that are pulling the exact same thing. That the abuses that we see of workers now, where sure, you get your required leave time and your required breaks, and yeah, sure, we'll provide you the health benefits that you need, and you have blah, blah, blah. All that stuff's there, sure. And yeah, you get paid overtime for this stuff, and you get, but what's missing is but we don't have to guarantee you your hours. You know what? Oh gosh, this week, you know, the schedule just didn't work out. Sorry, you could only get 24 hours in this week. Sorry about that. No, we'll still continue your benefits, but, we just can't. I wish we could help you, but boy, things are really tight right now. Or not knowing literally until the week before, like less than 7 days notice, knowing whether or not you're going to be working third shift or first shift. All right. Not knowing ahead of time, sometimes less than a week, not knowing what days of the week you're going to work. So how do you plan for when you need babysitting and who's going to get your kids to school? And can you get to that doctor's appointment? Can you make it to your kids' school program? Can you do the things you need to do, and you have no idea because they don't have to guarantee you hours. And a lot of times they try and screw people over and force people out not by directly firing them, but just making their lives so uncomfortable that eventually they quit. And places like Walmart, and again, they're just one example. Don't take this as just Walmart. They are just one example, but they have so much power over their workers, and it is unfair. And it's unfair, and we need unions in places like that to stop this stuff from happening. This is the next big labor fight, is guaranteed hours, guaranteed shifts, guaranteed notice of change, all of these things that right now are really lax in a lot of workplaces. And that's going to be the next big labor fight, I think. And I look forward to seeing it. And so are IT workers included in that? Look, I've got a comfy job. I can't complain. But when you are looking at, you know, they've been trying to make changes that you can't, sorry, stumbled there, lost my train of thought, focused like a laser. When you've got people who are on salary, but they're only making 35 grand a year, but it's considered salary, so they can be worked, you know, up to 60, 65 hours a week because, well, that's what it requires. And they've tried to change the law to say, look, you can't go calling salary unless you're actually making, real, administrative level money. You know, until, you know, unless you're making 50 grand a year, you can't be called salary. You can't call somebody in as a McDonald's manager for 28 grand a year and call them salary and work them for 70 hours. You just can't do it. And we're having trouble now with the current administration getting that passed. It's just, there's no motivation to get that moving, but it should. And that's the position a lot of IT workers are in, is that they are getting moderate level pay, but they're being worked a million hours a week, and, you know, because they're considered salary. And what are you going to do about it? So yeah, that's a place where getting some representation, getting someone to fight in your corner would be a really good idea. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. Right now, it's not a popular environment for it. So number 72. 72 is from, see how I have to fill the empty spaces? I can't just sit here silently, says Mike to himself in his head. All right, 72 is from Ronster, and Ron says, ever watched any of the Gamers movies? If so, which was your favorite? And then he says he prefers Darkness Rising. I have not at all. Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen them. I keep meaning to. And then, you know, the longer I've put it off, the less important it seems, because, you know, there's so much other important stuff that I have to be watching right now. Oh, man, this week I watched a movie called Beyond the Edge, which is a sci-fi movie where it looks like they're in a rocket ship out of the 70s when you're listening to the TV shows and movies that they're watching while they're on board. Look at the styles of the buttons and panels and everything else that's in this rocket ship they're in. It just feels very 70s. And that's how they kind of play it off. But they're in a ship that is traveling faster than light speed, and their mission is to reach the end of the universe and the edge of the universe, and then report back on what's beyond the edge. That's it. And it seems weird, and there's just the two of them. There's the Lieutenant Colonel, who's the pilot, and the pilot is played by Casper Van Diem, of all people. I did not recognize him at first. But he's the captain of the ship, the pilot of the ship. And then with him is the scientist, who I also did not recognize at first, but is played by Sean Mayer, who is the who plays Dr. Simon Tam from Firefly. He's the doctor. And so it's just these two guys. So, and it is hypnotic. It is, I'm going to warn you right away, it is a slow-moving movie. All right? It is one that if I was watching with anybody else, we would have shut it off about 20 minutes in because they would have been bored and I would have been very self-conscious about what a slow, crappy sci-fi movie this is. But watching it by myself, I couldn't shut it off. I was just hypnotized. It was weird. Like had I been watching it with Aiden, Aiden would have just, I mean, 5 minutes in, it's like, is this all we're getting? Is this it? Because Aiden can't stop talking through any movie. We ruin the whole thing. My wife would probably just be asleep because she can't stay awake anymore lately. She's been working too hard. But anyway, I did wind up watching the whole movie, and I wound up really enjoying it right until the end, and then the very end of it just pissed me off. And I this doesn't sound like a recommend, I know. But then I got to thinking about the ending, and I'm like, okay, what am I missing? And so I looked at a couple of reviews of it, and most reviews say, oh my God, this movie was stupid. I can't believe I spent that much time watching this stupid film. All right. But I got a couple of ideas that, even from people who I think are wrong about what they think the movie means or what was supposed to be happening there. And yet it gave me some introspection on it. I'm like, oh, I bet I'm tempted to watch it a second time just to see if I'm right. Cause I think watching it a second time in context, knowing where it's going, I think this is going to be an even better film. And I'm really, like I say, just hypnotized by this film. It sucked me in. It's called Beyond the Edge. I watched it on Hulu, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a Hulu movie. And just crazy. A weird film. Weird film. But, man, if anyone wants to watch it and talk about it with me, well, I would love to do that. And if you watch it and you hate it, don't say I didn't warn you what it was going to be like, okay? You cannot blame that on me. You know what you're getting into walking into it. You're doing this just so you can have the conversation afterwards, all right? No getting mad at me. All right. But focused like a laser. That's right. We were going to roll up another one. That wasn't even what the question was about. 72 again. How'd that happen? All right. There we go. 93 comes from... It's from Kaz. And Kaz says, you've been granted the power of heat subtraction, like Elijah Snow from Planetary. How do you use it? Okay, by the way, I'm making a conscious effort. Whenever I get really, tough questions on here, ones that I have to think about, I realize that every single time my response is, oh man, that's a really hard question, or that's really tough. And that's my way of stalling. Oh man, and I've got to stop doing that. So instead, I'm going to have this conversation, this meta conversation about it in order to stall. But I listened to, I can't remember, it was a few episodes back that it really stuck out to me. It was like out of 12 Podomatic questions, I did that like 8 times, the exact same response. I'm like, I am too predictable. I have got to get better at this. So I'm trying not to do that now. If I had the power of heat subtraction, I would save an awful lot on my air conditioning bills, clearly. What can I do? I've never seen the show Planetary, or the comic Planetary, or the wherever this is from Planetary. But heat subtraction, I assume, is just pulling heat out of stuff and thus making it very cold. And thus, you know, if I wanted to make it snow, if I wanted to, it's heat subtraction, clearly. But what can I do with heat subtraction that I can't do with refrigeration or air conditioning? I mean, except, you know, presumably I could do it faster, so I could freeze things very quickly. Is there some place where that's really useful in science, that I could go freeze some stuff really quickly for people and be really helpful that way? I'm not sure. Man, too bad my mind is not focused enough for this. But all right, 79 dudes. I'm kidding, not dudes, just 79 this time. And this one's from Kyle. Kyle says, assume you have an opportunity to have one message broadcast to all the population of the globe simultaneously and only one time. What would it be? And you have to do it or the lobster dies. I don't know what that means, but I would hate to see a lobster die for nothing. I mean, it's okay if it dies for supper, but nothing is kind of worthless. So, my message to the world is, this is easy, is listen to Nerd Pride Radio, and then I would give them the address to come find it. It's that simple. I mean, look, I've got 8 billion people in the world, and maybe only I broadcast this out to everyone in the world, and maybe only a fraction of them actually catch it or pay attention to it or anything like that, but even that fraction is enough to then bring in a significant number of people to at least give it a try. And then I could have whatever message I want on the podcast. I mean, then I can talk about anything. And maybe out of 8 billion people, I get like 3 new subscribers. That would be pretty cool, right? That's all I'm looking for. 34. It's going to be our last one, 34. And 34 comes from Kyle again. Kyle says, what was the last graphic novel you read? Review it in exactly 12 words. I've actually reviewed it here. It was the Superman graphic novel, the really weird one. It was All-Star Superman was the name of it. And my review in exactly 12 words, and the review that I gave on this, all right, to sum it up in 12 words, the freakiest bits of Superman lore all rolled into one glorious comic. Because that's what it was. It was all of the wildest, craziest bits of Superman. And made it work all in one huge mega story. It was really cool. Although, all right, my wife is reminding me that haven't I read Walking Dead more recently than that? I can't remember. I know I think maybe the third Walking Dead compendium. Maybe the most recent one I've read. It's okay, Walking Dead. Rick and friends keep getting into the same shit, but still good. I mean, it feels like, you know, we've just defeated another round of bad guys, we've learned this huge lesson, and now, oh wait, look, it's a different variation on some amped up evil. And now we have to learn more lessons, and we have to, oh man, come on. And yet, I still really like the comic. I think the comic is great. I've gotten tired of the TV show to a degree. We've gotta get back into it, but, it's not as must see as it used to be, is what I'm saying. But the comic is really good. So, there you go. And then that was the last one. I'm sorry, R2, I pulled you over here for nothing. I'm just teasing you. Now I'm gonna turn it over to GLaDOS. We get a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. I didn't bother to use any other music, so that was it. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use and write me a nice review or, you know, again, give me 2 middle fingers. As long as I get 5 stars, that's the part that counts. Or do something super nice for the podcast. Recommend it to your friends because you're enjoying it. So that means you need to spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, like Kyle had for 229 this week, send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums, nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message. We'll hang out together, become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and Facebook and I post up, hey guys, I am recording. Is there anything you want to add to this podcast? I will read it off right there at the end, which is where I am and what I'm doing right this moment. So, first off, we go over to my forums where it's only been a half hour. Nobody has responded. So that was easy. Thanks, guys. And then I go over to Facebook and hey, it's Sarah Beth. All right. I can respond to Sarah Beth. Sarah Beth says, when is Aiden moving out and giving you your podcast back? The hell, man. We don't listen for him. And then Aiden, She puts in parentheses, kidding. All caps, so I'm sure she means it. Mike, do you regret starting The Awesome in the 80s because it's making you not love these flicks anymore? I'll read the whole thing first. Or do you love it because it shows that you are, I believe the term is, woke as fuck? Well, she says AF, but I know what that means. Which, by the way, have I ever told you about the medicine that we found in the medicine cabinet? That I don't remember which kid we used it on, but it was Dipraline, and it's Dipraline AF. And so I pulled the medicine out of the cabinet, and it was like an old expired tube. But maybe it was when one of the kids had viral warts. Maybe. No, that doesn't sound right. No, that doesn't. Anyway, doesn't matter. So I pull it out, and it says Dipraline AF. And so I get to show it to my older boys, and I'm like, boy, look at this, kids. I have no idea what this medicine is for, but it is Dipraline as fuck. And I was the very cool dad for just a moment. It was really kind of nice. But anyway, back to Sarah Beth's question. So do you hate The Awesome in the 80s because it's ruining these movies for you, or do you love it because it shows that you are woke? And then there's a question for Aiden, which I am going to forward on to Aiden because he's not here, obviously, but maybe he can answer. And in the meantime, while we're waiting on him, I will go ahead and finish answering this question. I'm actually really enjoying Awesome in the 80s because most of these movies, the ones that I know don't hold up and that I know, I mean, for sure don't hold up, don't. I mean, it's not even a question on whether or not Bachelor Party was going to be a winner. I mean, we knew Bachelor Party was going to be seriously outdated and wrong, and it was actually really interesting to go back and rewatch it in that context. But the ones that have held up, I mean, look, I've always known that Die Hard holds up because I've been sharing that with every one of my kids when they're, 13 years old, and love watching Die Hard with them. But some of these other ones, like Real Genius, I was pleasantly surprised to find out that they like Real Genius. Pleasantly surprised to find out that, Top Gun is not that bad. To find out, it's just interesting. I'm really enjoying this, and I'm enjoying the context of them, enjoying that my kids and I watch them knowing, even though it's me and Aiden doing it, the younger kids are usually watching with us, and I like being able to share these old movies with them that sometimes they even enjoy, they have a really good time watching, but be able to share them in context, that they come with a built-in conversation that we're going to have about these movies to discuss what's appropriate and what's not and how culture has changed since then. And it's a really interesting way to go about them. This framework of Awesome in the 80s, I'm hoping it's entertaining for you guys. But even aside from that, it's just a great way to watch the movies and a great way to have a conversation about them. I really like it. I'm enjoying the crap out of it. Yeah, some of the swearing that's in them. Yeah, there's like going back and watching The Goonies with the kids, or even E.T., the opening of E.T., the names, the language that kids were using in some of these movies is just stunning. Right. Right. Oh, yeah. I don't have a problem with letting my kids see it. And again, especially with anything that might be troublesome, and not that I think that the language part is all that troublesome, but anything that might be troublesome about a film, we know we're going to have a conversation about it. So I enjoy that. Let's see. And then Sarah Beth has another question that says, also, if you review Avengers in its first 2 weeks out, we're going to be in a fight because I can't trust Aiden not to spoil it. Oh, he'll be good. And besides, we only have 2 movie pass cards, so it's going to be me and Lisa. You're not gonna get Aiden going out to that. Just tell you what, I'll have Lisa on with me next weekend, and the two of us will review Avengers for you, because I'm sure she would enjoy that. So hold on, let me see if Aiden's responded yet. Okay, I went and called Aiden, and Sarah Beth's question for Aiden was, hold on, I got it right here. All right, Aiden, do you enjoy ruining your dad's childhood? Which he said, yeah, but it's not just my dad. He says, I enjoy ruining anyone's beloved memories. Loving the Netflix horror, this is Sarah Beth again, loving the Netflix horror movie reviews, just got Roku for our, Roku, she spells it out, for our bedroom, so I can't wait to fall asleep to some awesomely awful movies you've discussed. What is the one that Darks and I should start with? All right. And Aiden, amazingly, I asked him that, and he said, oh, man, that is a really good question. So he has the same stalling technique I do. But ultimately, he said, you want to start with either zombies, which is zombie animals, or he said Spiders 3D. And he said, when you watch it, the title card on the movie says Spiders 3D, but on Netflix, it's just listed as Spiders. So he said those would be the two to start with. So go with one of those. And I hope you enjoy it because crappy horror movies are awesome. So anyway, that's everything we've got. So I don't know if Sarah Beth likes crappy horror movies, but she's willing to try them out. So that's what she was asking, because that's the only thing Aiden reviews. So, all right. I love you guys. You're awesome. Thank you for sitting here with me for, 37 minutes, however long this was. It's been great. I will see you guys next week, and I will be in much better shape for that one. Bye.